kids. This is Risk, the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. I'm Kevin Allison, and every Thursday now, we're going to release these special episodes that we're calling Classic Risk Singles. You know, we've been doing the Risk podcast for almost 10 years now, so each of these Classic Risk Singles episodes will feature just one story from our archives. Now, if you're new to Risk, you should know that the podcast can be very uncensored. The kinds of things that people might be more reserved about talking about pretty much anywhere else. Let's start with a story that premiered on the show on January 23rd, 2012. This is Peyton Clarkson with a story we call The Minions.
So pretty much my entire adult life has been about trying to find jobs that'll sustain me without having to join the actual workforce. And it's led to a bunch of different things, a bunch of odds and ends, and none of them really pay that well. Most of them are pretty miserable. Everything just short of prostitution, I guess. But this one in particular was maybe the most strange experience that I've ever had in my life in the attempt to make money. I was called in by a friend to help a mega, mega millionaire move out of his high-rise luxury apartment in Manhattan. I've never really had a lot of experience with mega wealthy people. I found out after I got there that this wasn't a move that was of his own plan. He was being kicked out of his apartment. Every day that he was in the apartment, he was being charged $1,000 until he vacated the premises. When my friend asked me to do this odd job, he told me that it was $30 per hour. So when I got there, he wasn't even awake. I was told from the guys downstairs, under no circumstances are you to disturb Mr. Johnson. That is completely against the rules. You cannot disturb him. So I'm sitting there in the apartment, looking around, trying to find something, anything to do to validate my being there and getting paid $30 an hour. There's only so much you can do. The place was completely filthy, so, you know, I would pick up what I thought I could. But basically, I ended up just sitting there for 4 or 5 hours. I saw the sun going down with maybe the best view of Manhattan that I've ever seen. We start hearing moaning coming from the bedroom. You know, he's just... And it went on and on like that. Finally, after about 20 minutes of it, we hear the door open, and there he was. He looked like Yoda. He was small and bent over. It was hard to believe that he even had the chest to make those noises. He came out, he had a glass of scotch on the rocks, a cigarette coming out of his mouth, and he just kind of stumbled toward us. He, you know, said something to the effect of, you know, the car was supposed to be here an hour ago. Yes, the car. Actually, sir, we're here to help you move. We don't know it. Oh, right, of course, you're here to... You're the minions! That's what you are, you're the minions. And then he turned around and walked back into his room. Now, we don't know what to do. This is the... In our calculation, we're already up to, you know, about $300 a piece. He calls us into his room about 5 minutes after that, you know. He says, minions! Minions! And in his bedroom, there's nothing but bottles of scotch, single malt scotch. This isn't cheap stuff. Shit I've never even heard of because it was so expensive. Yeah. So we wade through and he's laying there in bed. There's pill bottles strewn everywhere. He's in there in bed and there's a series of hooks and pulleys to make everything in his room accessible. Because he doesn't like to move, apparently. So there's rubber bands, these big, you know, the workout rubber bands. He pulls one and a cell phone comes down from the ceiling. He's made it very convenient to not do shit in bed all day long. So he gives us a little backstory about himself. He tells us that he is, you know, from a very influential South African family.
studied in England, of course, for years and years. That explains why I don't have that bastard accent that all my countrymen have. You know, and everything's a ramble. Everything ends with a question that you don't know if you're supposed to pick up and answer the question. You're here to ascertain what? You're here to see.
And that's it, you know. And God forbid you interject, because then he throws up his crooked finger telling you don't interrupt. It's a very, very difficult social interaction with this man, but apparently he's used to getting his way. So he tells us basically that these communist bastards have insisted that I vacate the premise, so I need your help to do what? To help me move, right? Okay, so get to it now. Don't disturb. And he kicks us out of the room, closes the door. We're not in any real hurry. Until about an hour and a half in, we get a knock on the door, and it's the moving company. Being familiar with the history of South Africa, the African-American gentlemen that are standing there, I can tell that this isn't going to bode well. And sure enough, as they're there, you know, we're throwing everything into the boxes. We came across a pair of testicles in a jar of formaldehyde. They were his cat's testicles that he kept. For what, I have no idea, but in the box it goes with everything else. We have suits. The funny thing about it is he's obviously had access to money his entire life, but he hadn't used it in a long time. We came across a book that had New York City's most eligible bachelor circa 1982, and he's in it. And in the picture, he looked pretty dashing. He really did. He was a playboy, a Hampton playboy that just bounced around, you know, having a life, but apparently this connection to alcohol and drugs has taken over that. So I'm throwing what was probably $4,000 or $5,000 suits that now have the retail value of, I mean, it's a leisure suit, you know, everything was out of date, but he wants it all. And he does finally stir. He comes back out of his room and immediately starts yelling at everyone. You know, I don't, we've a bunch of imbeciles here. I want everything collected. I want everything transcribed. I want you to have an exact figure of everything, suits, everything. So that, well, we've already got six wardrobe boxes just stuffed in there, you know, taped up everything. We're not going to go back and do that, right? The moving company's there, and he comes out and he insults them. You know, I don't trust you Negroes to move my stuff from point A to point B. I know your type. I see your shifty eyes. Well, the black men that are standing there, first of all, I mean, he's in no physical condition to be fighting anyone. So it looks like it's up to me and my buddy to intervene here. Finally, he throws one too many M-bombs in there. And rightfully so, the moving company said, you know what? Fuck you. They just kind of turned and they walked off. So here, me and my buddy, there's a moving truck down there that's supposed to be going out to Connecticut to their family estate in Connecticut. We don't know how to get out there. He's obviously got no clue because he's so fucked up. And the only people that are there, him, his Russian limo driver, and me and my buddy. Well, so the plan is devised. We have to get out of the apartment. We haul everything down to the moving truck. We get everything into the moving truck. He's cursing out on the streets. His beautiful Porsche pulls up. The Russian has to drive the van there. And so my buddy and I, we get into the Porsche. And his cat has made its first appearance. Now, this is not a house cat. This is the reason, I guess, he saved the testicles, because it's a $1,000 cat. I've never seen anything like it. It's like what the ancient Egyptians would worship. It had the spots of a leopard, but he puts it into the back seat and we take off. Now, he's had, I don't know how much scotch at this point, and pills, everything else. And he's driving 95 miles an hour. The cat's running around into the back and it pisses on my friend. The cat just loses control and pisses all over my friend. I don't know if you've ever been peed on by a cat, but it's definitely got a pungent odor to it. And instead of, you know, trying to rectify the situation, he starts yelling at my buddy. You certainly did something to upset this poor beast. You deserved it. Come here, cat. Come here. He starts playing with the cat while driving. You know, he didn't mean to upset you. Very sorry. He didn't mean to upset you. Apologize to the cat. My buddy, he's sitting there with cat piss on him. Sorry, cat? Yeah. We finally get to the family estate. Now, this is in the middle of winter. And, of course, he has lost the keys. So we have no way to get inside. My buddy's soaking wet, standing outside. You can see crystallized cat urine on his sweatshirt. And he's going around banging on different doors, that sort of thing. Well, apparently there's a keeper of the house, a couple that lives there year-round, to make sure everything's okay. Well, they come outside and see us standing there. They have no idea who we are. Finally, he comes to our defense. I guess he was checking a window around back or something. These people are with me. You're the minions, just as they. Go back inside. There's nothing to see here. So the people, I guess, you know, they know their role. They go back into their cottage. Finally, he throws a brick through the window, unlocks the door, and we go inside. At this point, the Russian hadn't even caught up to us. I guess he doesn't know how to get there. He's lost. He goes up to his room, you know, and he's up there, and we hear more groaning and more moaning, that sort of thing, and we're left to just kind of sit there by ourselves. We don't know what to do. Finally, the Russian pulls up. We start unloading everything. Mr. Johnson comes down. He's got a bottle of wine that's from 1920. I don't care about wine. I've never been one to know anything. I just don't know the difference between good and bad. But he couldn't brag enough about this, you know. So we're sitting there. My buddy and I, he's back upstairs on his pills. My buddy and I, we're beer drinkers, and we're sitting there drinking a bottle of wine from 1920, looking at a picture of Mr. Johnson's grandfather sitting with Winston Churchill. That's Mr. Churchill on the left and my father on the right, you know. Just laughing about the whole thing. Well, the Russian at this point is just pretty pissed off. I need the money. Where's my money? I have to get back. I have family. He goes upstairs. After a little bit of arguing that we hear through muffled walls, we hear a gunshot. Pow! Single shot. The Russian runs downstairs. The motherfucker has gun. He gets in his car, takes off. What are we supposed to do now? We don't have a car. You know, he's gone. My buddy charges up there. What are you doing with a, you know, you can't have a gun out. The gun, of course, gets pointed at him. You know, he's an idiot. I stayed down there with the 1920 wine. Mama didn't raise no fool on my part. My buddy comes back down. The guy passed out with the gun beside him. And so we're sitting down there not knowing what to do. We have no cell phone service. And really, nothing but a solid fear for our lives. That's really all that we had going on at this point, because the man had lost all bit of rational thought. About 7:30 in the morning, he calls me. Peyton! Peyton, get your ass up here! I go up there, and he's standing naked in the room. And completely oblivious to the fact that people should be a little self-conscious, especially with the condition of his body. It was so decrepit. He looked like Mr. Burns, but not old enough to be Mr. Burns. You know, the man is, you know, he's in his 50s, I'm sure, but, you know, certainly has aged his body through chemicals and alcohol. He has a bulbous, a tumor in place of his chest that made kind of a triangle. Very severe triangle, and he's standing there naked with this frail little body and a little tiny pig dick. I was most surprised that he had no shame, because this was the smallest penis that I had ever seen in my entire life. It looked like a little pig dick. Pig dick is all I can keep thinking. And he's standing there barking orders at me, telling me that your friend, he's not allowed. Well, he's not allowed. Well, yeah, up in this bedroom, he is not allowed.
Should we have any conversation betwixt the two of us, it shall be through you. I do not trust him. He questioned... What? What did he? He questioned my responsibility with a firearm. So he is not allowed up here anymore. Tell him, shall he cross through this threshold, I will fire on him. Well, this is a threat, you know. But I certainly conveyed that to my friend. You know, don't go up there, you're going to get shot. You know, and he and I are both from Alabama. We're not... People shoot people down there, so this isn't a threat that we're going to take lightly, especially not with the grade of pharmaceuticals that this man has been consuming. The man that hooked us up with the job eventually comes to pick us up, and this is 2 days later. And again, we've tallied this up in our mind about how much we're owed, and at this point, you know, we're at... I think about $5,000 a piece, something like that, which made it worth it. That's how pathetic it is. I mean, that's how desperate I am to stay out of the 9-to-5 workforce, that this is seeming like a good deal to me. Mr. Johnson stumbles over to us. Well, you haven't been the best workers that I've ever seen in my life. I assume that you would like to be compensated before you go back. Well, right, to your meager abode, right, real quick. So he goes over to his checkbook, and he makes out a check for $500. I could have panhandled for more, and this has been 3 days now, you know, so it's not even, if we were at minimum wage, this wouldn't be enough. $250 a piece, this is bullshit. So we don't dare insult him by looking at the check while we're in the room, right? We wait until we're about halfway down the estate driveway, which is considerable, several miles, and say, you know, this check, it's only $500. That's $250 a piece. You know, this is bullshit. The guy that picked us up slams on the brakes, throws it in reverse. He says, no, you gotta get paid more. Well, I recalled, you know, earlier in the day, I had seen an envelope full of British pounds in it. And it's clear at this point that the guy's not going to be stirring. He's not going to pay us anymore. So I go in and I take the money. I take it. It's not my proudest moment, but at the same time, we got ripped off. So I grab the envelope and run out the door. We start driving back down this long driveway, and suddenly we see lights back behind us, and sure as hell, it is the Porsche lights back behind us. Well, my buddy that picked us up, he slams on the gas, you know. We're doing about 70 down this dark, dark Connecticut driveway. We don't know anything of the terrain. We don't know where these turns are going. We're in the woods, pretty much, and he's still following us until we look back and see he runs off of a 3-foot-high stone wall. And the car is at an angle. It's stopped at an angle that the back tires are completely off the ground and just spinning there. We slow down a little bit, look back, and saw that he was still cursing. You sons of bitches, a bunch of thieves, you bunch of goddamn thieves. Well, he was fine, you know. We're not obligated to help him. He's not injured, obviously. He's still got his cursing bone and his insult bone fully intact. So we take off. Got a phone call about a week later. Yes, Peyton, this is... Well, I suppose there's no point in that. You know exactly who this is. It's a matter of British pounds that have been taken from me. I do suppose that you will call me back when? At your earliest convenience. And safe to say, that was a call that I never made.
That is all for this week's Classic Risk Singles episode. That was Peyton Clarkson, who you can find on Twitter at Peyton Clarkson. Now, don't miss out on our regular full-length Risk episodes. There's a new one to download or stream every Tuesday, and everything you might want to know about us is at risk-show.com.